G'day, Bulldog. How are you?
Bulldog and Daly in tandem. What do you mean?
Well, I do have elegance and grace, Clark.
Flexibility in those legs? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I could do it. 100 metres, boxing.
Strong core.
That I'd give a crack to.
What's your favourite event, Bulldog, so far?
I'd love to get in the ring with Laurie.
I wouldn't. I'll pay. I'll be a major sponsor. I'm in.
I'd love to.
There'd only be one result, and you know that.
Yeah. You know what? You might have the athletic edge over me, Laurie, but I've got something in my chest called heart, and that's very
important. Oh, Daly, have some of that.
If I couldn't beat you, I would give the game away. If I couldn't take you down in the first round.
Make him move, Bulldog. He's got a busted calf, remember?
Well, it's with my small body. I'm not sure how long my jab would be, my reach.
You'd have to get in close, Bulldog.
Or just use the stool in the corner.
Now, rugby league, Bulldog, Parramatta. They got a big game against South Friday night. Mitch Moses back. And they also have, what, six players coming off contract? So what's the latest with the Eels going forward?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, that there's a bunch of stars come off at the same time. I know Parramatta is diligently working through the situation. Probably the two biggest names there, and I should note too that this is the end of next year, but as of November 1, which is not that far away, clubs are then permitted to start negotiating with these players. So as of November 1, the two big ones there are Clint Gutherson and Junior Paulo. The Eels have started talking with Gutherson about extending. Paulo has said he doesn't want to go, but, you know, money talks, and I'm sure Junior would be in demand out there. Reed Marnie is another one, Ryan Madison, Isaiah Papali'i, and I think even Dylan Brown might have a clause, but he could be off at the end of this year as well. So there's some big guns there. It's a funny one, guys. If Parramatta don't win the comp this year, I mean, and things are looking a little shaky, do you persist with the same roster? Do you dive back in the pool and re-sign all six, or do you think maybe it's a change is needed and you allow one to go and you can bring someone else in to bring in a new feel around the joint? It's a tough one being recruitment and retention in rugby league these days, but certainly in terms of star power, the Eels have got a fair bit of work to do if they want to keep a cluster of their big names.
Bulldog, we spoke about this at the time. Parramatta re-signed Mitchell Moses, and the question at the time was, yeah, he's playing great footy at the start of the year, but surely everything, you know, in regards to him and re-signing him on the money he's on, comes down to this time of the year. You can talk about Brad Arthur and how much pressure the coach is on, but isn't this the time your most senior players, your highest paid players, your best players, you need to own this time? You need to own finals footy. And there is that expectation on Parry because they've got a good enough squad. But if they can't aim up and get to the GF, is it a mistake in them re-signing Mitch?
Oh, gee, Clarky, yeah, that's a tough call on Mitch.
Yep.
Look, let's just see how it unfolds first and see how he performs. I don't want to jump into Mitchell Moses just yet. But look, what you say is right. Yes. You know, you pay these playmakers $800,000, $900,000, $1 million a year. You know, in the clutch moments in the big games, that's when they've got to perform. That's what they get paid for. They don't get paid $1 million to beat the Cowboys in round three or the Sharks in round five. This is the moment when they've got to stand up. Mitchell Moses, to be fair to Mitchell, hasn't done that yet. And Parramatta obviously see in him the potential to do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have re-signed him long-term. Look, Parramatta's a different beast, I think, Clarkey, in that most clubs in recent years, if they'd achieved what Parramatta has, finishing in a couple of prelim finals and week two and three in the final series, they would have been happy, particularly for a club like Parramatta who previously had been struggling. But given the wait's been so long, dating back to 1986, I don't think the fans want that anymore. I don't think they just want to reach the finals or be in the prelim. They want a grand final. They want to win one. And look, based on what we've seen the last few weeks, much as I hate to say it for Parramatta's legion of fans out there, I just don't see anything in Parramatta at the moment that tells me that they are a genuine premiership threat.
Looks as though Moses Mbai is off to the Dragons. So does that free up some salary cap space for the Tigers, Bulldog?
Yeah, it does, Loz. I had a few calls about this yesterday. It looks like speaking to people close to a Moses Mbai, that the Dragons might be using him as a backup hooker, which was quite funny given I heard your conversation before about who would be the Dragons fullback with Jack Bird there. So I'd imagine that they're grooming Cody Ramsey to be their full-time fullback, and Moses would be utility value off the bench as a backup dummy half and maybe used in and around the halves. He's on some serious coin, Moses Mbai. He's on about $800,000 a year. He told the Tigers a while back that he won't be there next year. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it. But I think the time has come for the Dragons swoop. I think the deal will get done. And I think you'll find that Mbai will finish this year at Concord, but he will shift to the Red V from next season.
Now, Katoni Staggs, obviously talk about him moving to 5'8 next year, but it appears he may stay in the centres there at Brisbane.
Yeah, we spoke about this a while back, didn't we, guys? The plan for Kev Walters to use Katoni Staggs at 6, I said, and I think, Laurie, you might agree with me back then when we discussed it, that I didn't quite see the logic behind it, given he's such a great ball runner. But his form, albeit he has picked up an injury, his form in recent weeks has been outstanding. And it seems like, at the moment, Kev Walters is now reconsidering that potential move. Adam Reynolds will be there next year, and young Tyson Gamble's probably kicked on a little further this year than what they'd anticipated first up. So they've got a couple of options up there, but at the moment, I think the Stags 5'8 experiment is on hold. And Katoni will start next season back out where I think he belongs, and that's in the centres.
Manly were terrific the other night, and of course, Tommy T was just on another level in that game against the Sharks. But there's been some talk about Marty Tapau, and this might be his last season for Manly.
Yeah, it's the speculation that won't seem to dissipate, Loz. He's under contract for next year, which would state that first up. But there's been a lot of chit-chat about whether he will be permitted to go. Some say he will, some say he won't. I know Dez does have a huge rap on Marty Tapau, but look, he is 31 and he's on about $800,000 a year. There was certainly speculation a few weeks ago that Manly wouldn't stand in his way if he could secure another club. Manly are flying at the moment, so I don't think you'll get much information out of Manly in terms of contracts because they don't want to unsettle the playing group or disrupt their charge in the finals. But I still, look, if I was a betting man, Laws, I think Tapau will be there next year, but it'll depend on what clubs need a front rower. He's got good footwork, Marty. He's been around a long time. He's an old hardhead. And it also would, I guess, determined by how much Marty wants. If he's on 800 this year, as good a player as he is, I'm not quite sure, going into his 32nd year on the planet, I'm just not sure he'd be able to collect that kind of coin again.
If you've got a question for Bulldog, give us a call. 13 53 53. We'll take a quick break. Now, Bulldog, you've written a great feature today in the Telegraph. 10 years since the Battle of Brookvale, and 10 years on, what new did you learn about that night, that infamous night, when it all kicked off on the sideline?
Yeah, what an amazing evening it was when you look back. You know, 10 years, it's gone so fast, but it also, I guess, seems like an eternity ago, given how the game has changed. And, yeah, as much as it wasn't tolerated back then, you could double that right now. It would be absolute mayhem down there at the Judiciary if that unfolded today. Like, I spoke to Adam Blair, and I've spoken to Kieran Foran, Daly Cherry Evans, Craig Bellamy, and Chockey Watmow was probably the best. He's always good for a laugh, Chock, and he just said, you know, in the dressing room before the game, we all said if they have one more of these little niggling tactics, it's on. And, of course, Chock was never shy about being in the middle of a melee. And it all started with Darcy Lussick and Ryan Hinchcliffe. And then, of course, it erupted with Adam Blair and Glenn Stewart before everyone charged in. But, yeah, 10 years on, it's gone damn quick, hasn't it? But certainly a memorable day down there at Brookvale. And I did note, too, that Watmow and Foran said they've never heard the crowd like it down there. They were just baying for blood that night, and it was right in the peak of the Manly-Melbourne rivalry. And it was interesting, though, that I spoke to Frank Panisi, the Melbourne Storm manager, and he said, we never really recovered from that night, and we got bowled out in the Freedom Final that year, and of course, whatever happened down there at Manly, it certainly galvanised them, and they charged through the finals. No one laid a glove on them in that semi-final series of 2011, and of course, they flogged the Warriors in the grand final.
Yeah, it's a great read. Definitely worth checking that out in today's telly. Now we've got Laurie on the line. Hey, Laurie.
Yeah,
good. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I'm just asking about Matthew Elliott. Whatever happened to him? He was assistant coach at St George for about the first 5 weeks. I haven't thought I'd him in the coaching box. So did he have a blow-up with the coach or what, do you know?
Who?
Laurie, it's a really bad line. I think you said Matty Elliott. Look, he's still there. I'm not sure he's gone anywhere. I haven't heard or, or read that Matt Elliott isn't part of the coaching staff anymore.
Yeah, sorry, Laurie, your line's a bit hard to hear.
And
there.
On the weekend, when did the Dragons play? Because I know that clubs only could take a few coaches to the ground, and some of the assistant coaches didn't go to the games on the weekend.
That was Sunday night.
It was Sunday night. Yeah. So
I know the Melbourne Storm, Laurie, like Steve Kearney, the main assistant coach, he couldn't go. A young, I think it's Aaron Bellamy, Craig's son, he couldn't go. He's in the box as well. Frank Finisi, the bloke I just spoke about, that was the first time he's missed a game since 2009. So they've had to peel right back the amount of staff at games. And, of course, you need your COVID manager there, and you need your doctors and your physios, et cetera, et cetera. The absolute necessities and those that are, I guess, overflow to some degree, just couldn't make it. So maybe that's where Laurie's got his wires crossed. But look, as far as I know, and I might be wrong, but Matt Elliott is still at the Dragons.
Couple of Bulldogs questions here, Bulldog. Now, morning, boys. Can you please ask Bulldog if the Bulldogs are looking at any senior halfbacks to play alongside Burton next year? JB asks, and while we're on them, do you think Dylan Napa will pick up another club in the NRL, says John from Moorbank.
At the moment, I think they're looking at Burton and Jake Avarillo. I know Trent Barrett's got a huge opinion of young Avarillo. He thinks he's got a bit of X factor. And you put him in a fair football team, I think he can go to the next level. I don't know where that leaves Kyle Flanagan. He was dropped last night for the third time this year, Kyle. So certainly he'd be a young kid who's a little bit confused at the moment about where his future is. There was chit-chat about Super League, but he doesn't want to go there. So, look, I think Kyle's fairly determined. He'll put his head down, his bum up and keep working. But I think Avarillo and Burton would be the two starting halves next year. And Dylan Napa, he's on about $650,000 a year, guys. I don't think he's going to be re-signed. He comes off contract. See, whether he gets another club, I don't know. He's a bit like Marty Tapau. He's at that age where, you know, he may not get $650,000 a year. Will he get another NRL club? Look, I don't know. He'd have to drop his money as far as I'm concerned. And Loz, you're probably better placed than me to determine what Dylan Napa's worth at this point of his career.
Yeah, I get confused with salary cap numbers, Bulldog, because I see some of the figures getting bandied about for certain players and I can't believe it. And then other players you think are getting paid unders. But Dylan Napa, I think he will go around. So a club will pick him up. But did you say he was on 600?
650 this year.
Yeah, well, he won't be picking that up.
Yeah, what, 300, Laurie, I think?
I'd say so, mate. In a game, mate, it could be less. It depends if there's a couple of clubs involved in wanting a front rower. If there's no club wanting a front rower, or there's only one club wanting a front rower, there's no clubs here in the NRL wanting a front rower that plays like Dylan Napa, he's better off to go to England and more than likely will end up with the English Super League. But if there's someone here that thinks they're a bit short in the middle and they pick up a guy like Dylan Napa on 250, 300, they probably see that as a steal.
We talk about players taking haircuts financially, Laurie, and how their money is reduced and, you know, it's not a lot of money, but, you know, Dylan Napa, I think he picked up $350,000 a year. I think most people out there in the public would jump at that. So, you know, we tend to talk about it and compare it in rugby league terms, that's fine, but when we talk about it just in the general population, you know, $350,000, it's almost as much as you, Loz.
And just one last one here. Morning, fellas. Can we ask Bulldog about who will be who the Sharks will have at halfback next year, asks Shire Az.
The Sharks, well, Matt Morland has re-signed down there, as we know. So I think Matty would be in the halves there. And
Well, Nico Hines.
And Nico Hines, yeah, I think they want him at six. So, look, whether Hines plays seven or the other way around with Moylan, I don't know. But certainly they are the halves, or they will be the halves. And I think good times lie ahead for the Sharks. I think it's time for a rebuild since that grand final win in 16. And I think Craig Fitzgibbon's coming in just at the right time with just the right connections. And I think it's going to be a steady rebuild. It won't happen overnight, but I think in 2 or 3 years' time, Cronulla will be back up where they have been previously under Shane Flanagan, and that's in the top four.
Love your work, Bulldog. Thank you.
Thank you, man.